Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch National Satellite Radio program. We are broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is March 12, 2015. Folks, with Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need help with anything after this program, please call me. If you need a prayer, you can call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address, which is at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. And if you scroll down on the right, you'll see a thing that says End Time Radio Archives. Click there and you'll find all of our radio archives with descriptions. Although they're out there on the net, between the radio station and my main site and some other places, the radio programs are actually archived in probably at least four different places on the internet. But right now, we're coming to you live, and we're on satellite also at the same time. So anyway, if you want to know all about our ministry, go over to prophecyhour.com, check things out. It's like a hub for all of our ministries, including the Wichita Mission Church and Mercy, the Woman's Shelter. Okay, now a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, nor my guess, Father. But please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Well, about like old home week around here again. That's just a joke, because one of my favorite guests is back on with us tonight. That's Pastor Carl Gallups. He's a best-selling author, senior pastor since 1987, talk radio host, heard nationally and internationally, TV and radio guest commentator, former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network, and a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile, in Mobile, Alabama. Carl has written three books now: The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, the story of Yitzhar Kaduri and his prophecies of the end time. Speaking of which, a man will be on with me at 7 p.m. Central tonight that you've heard before, that you've heard Carl talk about, and that's a fellow by the name of Rabbi Zev. Anyway, he'll be back on with me. He's been on before, but moving right along. Carl's also written a book called The Magic Man in the Sky, Effectively Defending the Christian Faith. This is a great book, especially for people that you know that aren't saved. It's a great book just to lay out. People pick it up. The title catches them. And it really answers a lot of questions. It's also a book for the people that are saved. It's a really great book. You should have a copy. And now he has another book out. We talked a little bit about it before. We'll talk about it Sunday night. His new book is called The book is called Final Warning, of which Carl brought forward some very amazing facts, and this is really a must-read book. Tonight, again, he'll speak with us on this book. So let's see if Carl's hanging out there. Are you with us, Carl?
I am with you, Pastor Dan. Thank you for all those kind and gracious things. It's great to be with you. So Rabbi Zev, my Messianic Jewish friend from Israel, Zev Parad, is he going to be on your show tonight?
Yes, we had a little problem figuring out Israeli time and American time. We got mixed up. He was supposed to be on a couple weeks ago. Well, he has been on with me once before.
Yes.
But, yeah,
yes,
he's going to be on with us tonight at 7 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, that's going to be a great show. I hate to have to try to come before him. He's an amazing fellow and a good friend of mine.
Well, hey, man, you know, you did come before him the last time that he was on, and that wasn't why I got you on tonight, but you did come on before him last time, and you gave a great introduction for him, and he was really thankful for that. So I guess he must have listened in ahead of time. So, but go ahead.
I'm sorry, we've got a little delay. I wasn't trying to interrupt you. I'm so sorry. I was going to say, yes, he must have listened last time. I think so. Yes.
Yeah, amen. Well, yeah, of course, we're using Skype because, you know, Skype nowadays, it's such more clearer when you record it. But, yes, it does have a tinge of a delay in it, just something you got to get used to. Anyway, you know what? I have in my hand this book, The Final Warning, Carl. And you know how many times World End Daily must be really convinced they want me to have you on, because I'm looking at the third copy of this book that they've sent me.
Well, that's great. They just want to make sure that you read it, Pastor Dan. I'm telling you, I'm getting such amazing feedback from around the world, people who have read it through, and people telling me they're just going crazy over it, and they're just getting other copies and giving to their friends. One guy, I was on another radio interview this morning, and a guy called up and said as soon as he had finished reading his, he put it down, and one of his friends grabbed it up and took it, and another guy said he was halfway through reading his when a friend took it, and he's waiting to get it back. And so, but people, I think, you know, Pastor Dan, regardless of what people might think about some of the specific revelations that I believe that I see, and millions of people around the world see the same thing, regardless of that, the bottom line, the book makes, I think, a very, very good case for the fact that we are living in prophetic times. It doesn't set dates, it's not alarmist, but it just points out key word associations with things that have happened and are happening in the world around us, and their word associations that are just too astounding to overlook. I mean, they have to be examined, and so we examine them in the book. And I don't jump up and down. I'm not dogmatic about saying this is that, and if you don't believe it, you're wrong. I don't approach it that way, but I just say, look, here are the impeccable resources to back up what I'm showing you. Here are the word associations. Here's the associations to these prophecies. Could it be that we're living in the trumpet days of Revelation? Could it be that we're very close to the return of the Lord?
Yeah, amen. You know, after we did the program the last time, I had somebody send me a website where somebody else had made, made close to the same, conclusions. There we go.
Uh-huh.
Conclusions that you have. And so I would worry, and this is what I always say to people, you know, I would worry if you're the only one in the world that has this form of view, because I don't think our Father works that way, because he wants to establish it with more than one witness. So
right.
Then I get worried. But this, the things that you're putting forth in there is being established by more than one party.
Oh, yes. And listen, let me tell you. Well, first of all, my major eschatological theology, and again, I'm not dogmatic about it. I try to be very humble about it. I say, look, I could be wrong, but I do not come from the pre-tribulation persuasion. You know that. And I'm honest with that in the book. And I say, look, I hope I'm wrong. I hope pre-tribulation rapture is exactly how it happens. I pray to the Lord every day that that's how it happens. I don't see it in the scriptures. But regarding my theology, my eschatological foundation, my foundation agrees with the vast majority view of the early apostolic church fathers, as well as the classical commentators for the first 1,800 years of Christian faith. So my views are not strange. They're not out on the fringe. They're right in there with classical understanding of the scriptures, and plus it connecting to something that Jesus said exactly. We'll talk about that later. But then where people may or may not agree is with what I think I see regarding the possibility of the trumpets being fulfilled in our lifetime. And as you said, there are other people who are seeing this and building websites, some of them before my book, some of them after my book. But here's the deal. The P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network that I started 6 or 7 years ago, Pastor Dan, we now, I don't know, I sound like I'm bragging, but we get hundreds of thousands of reads and views of our syndicated blog and views of our videos every week. I mean, we get, I don't know, 10 or 12 million views a year on our videos alone. And that's not counting, you know, all the syndicated blog and the Facebooks and the radio program and everything we've got connected to it. But the point I'm making, all of that started, Pastor Dan, when I put a little video up on the internet 6 or 7 years ago that outlined now the very things that are in this book, and it went viral. We got millions of hits on it. And so I'm telling you, millions of people around the world are seeing what I'm seeing. Now, that doesn't make them right, and it doesn't make me right. But it does back up what you just said. I'm not the only person in the world seeing this stuff. All I did is I wrote a book about it. I may be one of the first to write a book that was published by a major publisher about this phenomena. But there are millions of people, including some dignitaries. My book quotes and resources some dignitaries from the UN, some ambassadors from foreign countries. They're on public record and in the UN records as having making speeches before the UN, saying some of the very same things that I and millions of other people have been seeing. So you're right. I'm not the only one. No.
Right. Amen. You know, I'm going to take those extra copies. I'm going to take those to my church and pass them out with the congregation and have them pass them around, because it is a good book. It really needs people. It makes you start thinking. You know what I mean?
And
it puts them in the right place. So I really love the book. So let's talk about some of it.
Yeah. And by the way, I mean, play devil's advocate, whatever you want to do. There's nothing you can't ask me, and I would love to talk with you about this. It's right up next to my heart. This is not something I pulled out of my back pocket, brother. I've been watching this stuff unfold and speaking to it in conferences and writing about it and for 25 years. It's just that in the last year I finally put it in a book, and my publishers read it and they agreed that people need to see this, you know. They need to think about these things.
Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, it might seem an odd place to start, but I would like to start with your view on the seventh trumpet and why you think Yeshua comes at that time. I think that's really important for the people, because if we can establish that, then it's easier to let them see what's coming before. You understand what I'm saying?
I agree, and that's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for starting that way, Brother Dan. Well, Pastor Dan, here's the deal. Now, and I'm going to play devil's advocate on myself on this, too, because I know the arguments against what I'm getting ready to say. So let me say what I see in the scriptures. Then I want to give your audience what the arguments are and what my sound biblical historical answers are. And then I think your audience will understand why I'm so passionate. I'm not dogmatic, but I am passionate about what I believe I see in the scriptures. In Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, now the seventh trumpet we don't hear it blow until Revelation 11, where it says, and then the seventh angel sounded. But in Revelation 10, verse 7, there's a passage of scripture. John says, in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, in other words, the trumpet, when he blows that seventh trumpet, he says, behold, the mystery of God will be revealed as spoken of by the prophets. All right, now that's interesting, Pastor Dan, because he says at the seventh trumpet, a mystery, a grand mystery is going to be revealed, but it's not a mystery we can't know about it. He says the prophets have already revealed this mystery. And he says at the seventh trumpet, that's when that mystery is going to happen. Now, that's important, because if you look up the word mystery in a concordance, you'll discover that the word is only used about 25 times in the entirety of the Bible. There's a handful of times in the book of Daniel, and he uses it when he talks about unraveling the dreams, the mysteries. He interpreted the mystery to King Nebuchadnezzar. All right, so you got that. But none of those words are tied to a trumpet or the revealing of something in the last days. Then you come to the New Testament. And there are only two people that use the word mystery in the New Testament. Jesus uses it once or twice, and he says, I speak to you in mysteries because, and he's talking about parables and stuff. So that's important. That's interesting. Jesus uses it, but again, he doesn't tie it to a trumpet or anything. Then we come to the only other person that uses the word mystery. And lo and behold, we discover this man was a prophet to the New Testament church, and John would have known it. The man's name is Paul, the Apostle Paul. Now, let me tell you what he says and why I say he's a prophet. It's undeniable that Paul was an end-time prophet to the early church. And here's the deal, Pastor Dan. When you look at the times Paul uses the word mystery, he uses it to talk about the gospel. The gospel is the mystery. He uses it to talk about how Jew and Gentile come together in Jesus Christ. The two become one, the mystery of God. And then he says in 1 Corinthians 15, get this, verses 51 and 52, behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And then listen what he says, at the last trumpet. Wow! That's the only person and the only place in Scripture where the word mystery is tied to a trumpet. And not just any trumpet, but the last trumpet. Now get this. When Revelation 11:7 says the seventh trumpet sounded his angel, not only is that the last trumpet in that series, not only is it the last of the seven trumpets in Revelation, but it is the very last time that the word trumpet is used in the entirety of the Bible. So literally, when the seventh angel sounds in the book of Revelation, that is the last trumpet in the entire word of God. Not only that, but it's the last trumpet in the series of holy seven trumpets in Revelation. Now, think of this, Pastor Dan. So listen to this again. Revelation 10:7. Put these two verses together. Listen to them together. In the days, all right, Revelation 10:7, John says, in the days when the seventh angel sounds, the mystery of God is revealed as spoken of by the prophet. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15 now. Behold, I'll tell you the mystery. We'll not all sleep. We'll all be changed in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. Now, when you put those two passages of Scripture together, you can't pull them apart if you stay inside the Bible. Those two passages are talking about each other. And let me prove to you why I think that is so. I said Paul was a prophet. Now, this is going to floor a lot of members of your audience because a lot of Christians don't know this. I've talked to very prominent pre-tribulation teachers, and they will dispute what I'm saying so far, and then I will tell them this, and some of them have scratched their heads and said, I've never thought about this. I've never thought about that. And I say, yeah, right. So, but here's what I'm going to tell your audience. The Apostle Paul was caught up to paradise. Second Corinthians chapter 12. He said he was caught up to heaven, the third heaven, to paradise. And he was shown things, some things he wasn't allowed to reveal. The Apostle Paul was caught up to paradise. He was caught up to the throne room of God 30 years before John was. Paul was killed in 67 AD by the Emperor Nero. John didn't have his revelation until about 95 A.D., 30 years later. So for 30 years, three decades, Paul was preaching to the church things that John would later see and be given the responsibility of revealing in greater detail. But Paul already knew about the end times. He already knew about the Antichrist. He talked about him in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He already knew about the demonic outpouring in the last days. He warned Timothy of it. He already knew about the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah. He warned the Roman church about it that was going to happen in the last days. Paul knew about trumpet blasts and end times trumpet blasts. He talked about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul knew about the return of Jesus and the resurrected bodies, the resurrected saints that would come with him. He wrote about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. You understand what I'm saying, Pastor Dan?
Yeah,
he knew all this. He was caught up to the throne room, Pastor. He saw this 30 years before John did. He knew about trumpets and resurrection and Antichrist and demonic outpouring and resurrection bodies and the last the great white throne of judgment and the judgment of even of Christians, not for their sin, but for the Bema seat. He wrote about all of this. How did he know all of that? Because he was caught up to paradise 30 years before John. And he is the only prophet in the entire Bible who uses the word mystery and trumpet together. And not just any trumpet, but he specifies the last trumpet. Behold, I will tell you the mystery. We will all be changed in the twinkling of an eye in a moment at the sounding of the last trumpet. And John says, let me tell you something. When that angel sounds that last trumpet, the mystery of God will be revealed, just like the prophet said. Now, when you put those two verses together, Pastor Dan, they cannot be pulled apart. Now I want to play devil's advocate on myself. Because because what the pre-tribbers will say, because they know that what I'm making is a powerful biblical argument. And so they've got to be able to separate those two passages of Scripture, or their whole pre-tribulation argument falls apart. Why is that? Well, because they say the trumpets blow long after the church is raptured. But if the seventh trumpet is the rapture of the church, which is what Paul says and what John says, then their whole argument, their whole foundation, their whole theory goes out the window. So right. They have to come up with another meaning of what Paul said. And here's what they'll say. Now, here I'm going to play devil's advocate. Here's what they will say. They say one of two things, and then I want you to hear my answer, and it's going to blow your audience away. And it always blows the pre-tribbers away when I share it with them. Amen. They will say, well, Paul wasn't talking about the seventh trumpet of Revelation. He was talking about another last trumpet. See, when Paul said last trumpet, he didn't say seventh trumpet. He said the last trumpet. But the word last means that there is a series. Because you've got to have at least a first and a last, right? So you've got to have at least two trumpets, okay? So he's talking about a series. Well, there's only, if you stay inside the Bible, there's only one series of trumpets in the New Testament, and that's the seven trumpets of Revelation. Okay, now watch. So they will say, well, he's talking about another trumpet. And you say, well, what trumpet's he talking about? Or he's talking about the last trumpet. That's what it's called. That's what the Jews call the last trumpet that blows on the Feast of Trumpets. But there's a series of blasts, 100-something blasts, and the last one's called the last trumpet. Or other pre-tribbles will say, no, he's talking about the great trumpet, the great trump of God, which is blown at the Feast of Atonement. And here's my answer to that. That's interesting. The Bible doesn't speak about either of those. Number one, you don't find anything about the great trumpet from the Feast of Atonement. You don't find anything about the, quote, last trumpet of the Feast of Trumpets. But what you do find, where you do find those words, are in the Talmud, written by the rabbis who reinterpreted the Word of God, who added to the Word of God. All the Bible says about the Feast of Trumpets in Leviticus 23 is you are to blow trumpets on the seventh day, the first day of the seventh month. And, of course, that, you and I know, is preparing for the 10 days of awe leading up to the Feast of Atonement. But what happened, hundreds of years later, the rabbis started adding rules, and they now blow trumpets on two days.
I got to break in. I was so up and listening to you. We're about to go to break in about 10 seconds. Give them your website real quick, and we'll talk when we come back.
Okay, good deal. CarlGallops.com.
Folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back. Few things
things in this world are more important than clean, pure water. Understanding this, ABR makes four tabletop water distillers available to you for purchase. First, we have the 5.5 hour per gallon with polycarbonate collection jug for $139. The second is a 5.5 hour per gallon with glass collection jug for $189. The third is a 3.5 hour per gallon with polycarbonate collection jug for $189, and our premier tabletop distiller is a 3.5 hour per gallon with glass collection jug for $250. All our distillers have a stainless steel boiling pot, dome, and cooling tubes, and the premier version also has a splash flap to protect against contamination of the cooling tubes. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com for more information and protect your water supply.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from ABR. The ABR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. We're, of course, the homeless or poor, but we're also talking about the poor people, people that are barely keeping roofs over their head, come to us looking for all kinds of things, food, clothing, and other things. These people are hardworking. It's just that they have part-time jobs and so on and so forth, and they just can't make it. They're trying, they're working, but they just can't make it. And we're not an agency, so we don't set a bunch of roadblocks in front of them to keep them from getting help. So they come to us looking for all kinds of things. And so we help many people with many different things. I also do first aid. I do all kinds of first things, from putting people back together to colds and flus and those kind of things. That's also a big way in which we help. And, of course, we have the gospel for them. Of course, we have, we try to give out as many as we can. We're short right now. We need large print King James Version Bibles. You know, we like those. They're cheap, and people that don't have glasses can usually even see them and read them. So if you want to send Bibles, amen, pray about that. You can go to a dollar store or someplace. You can generally get a large print Bible for 10 to 15 bucks at the most. But really, a Bible, you know, really does help people. Amen. But so pray about it. We help people in all kinds of different ways, you know, and we also give them a relationship. You know, when they see the relationship that we give them, they know that we're different, and then they want to know about Messiah. So, you know, that's where it's at. So it's, in the finale, it's all about getting people into the kingdom. So, again, we have no set guidelines like program. People just walk in the door. That's the rule. And that's why even the agencies tell people about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budgets literally send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many. And, folks, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's at prophecyhour.com, or simply call me at 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. So pray about it. We could really use your help tonight, because remember, the homeless and poor, they can't support what we do. It's only people like you that donate to what we're doing that makes us, the Mission Church, stay open. And yes, we are helping people at Mercy, the Woman's Shelter. So pray about helping that also. But really, a donation could matter for somebody tonight. In Yeshua's name, be blessed. Anyway, we're now talking with Carl Gallups, and we're talking about his book, The Final Warning. Are you still with me, Carl?
I am, Pastor Dan. Thank you so much.
Well, take us back to, if you can, take us back to where we was at. We was talking, you know, okay, amen.
Yeah, I will do that. And thank you for the opportunity to finish up, because I was getting ready to make the big grand finale point.
Yeah,
the punchline. But again, Revelation 10:7, John says, "Behold, in the days the seventh angel sounds," and I'm going to add the words "his trumpet," because that's what he means. He says, the mystery of God will be revealed, as spoken of by the prophets. Well, I did a long study with your audience showing them that there's only one prophet in the New Testament, only one prophet in the entire Bible, who reveals a mystery of God and says that's what he's doing, and he announces that it will happen at the blowing of the last trumpet. Well, the seventh trumpet in Revelation is the last trumpet of the series of trumpets, and it's the last time the word trumpet is mentioned in the Bible. So it literally is the last trumpet. And that's the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52. He says, "Behold, I'll tell you the mystery. The mystery is that we'll all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sounding of the last trumpet." So those two verses appear strongly, at least at first, to go together. Now, if they do, that means the seventh trumpet of Revelation is the rapture of the church, because Paul would be declaring that, and John would be referring back to Paul. Now, so I said, I'm going to play devil's advocate with myself, and that's where we left off, because those of the pre-trib persuasion, and I'm not being ugly to them, because I pray they're correct. I do. I promise. For 30 years of my ministry, I've said, Lord, I pray that the pre-tribulation rapture view is correct. I don't see it in the scriptures because of the kind of things I'm teaching the audience right now. But but here's the deal. So what the pre-tribulation people will say is, well, Paul wasn't talking about the seventh trumpet of Revelation. And my answer to that is, well, what trumpet was he talking about? You got to remember, Paul went to the throne room of God 30 years before John. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said, "I was caught up to the third heaven, to paradise. I saw things. I know what I'm talking about." We look at everything Paul wrote 30 years before John wrote the Revelation. Paul's talking about trumpets and the Antichrist and the return of Jesus and the outpouring of demonic spirits and the Sodom and Gomorrah spirit that will sweep the world. He's laying it out there. He's a prophet to the early church. And John said there was a prophet who spoke of the mystery of the last trumpet, and John says, "Now I'm getting ready to show it to you." Okay? Now, so Paul says it's the rapture of the church. Well, the pre-tribbers will say, well, Paul's not talking about the seventh trumpet of Revelation, and my question is, well, what was he talking about? because that's the only place in the Bible where there's a last trumpet in the series. And they say, well, he's talking about the last trumpet of the Feast of Trumpets or the great trumpet of the Feast of Atonement. And the point I was making before we went to break is, well, that's very interesting because neither one of those trumpets are defined or talked about anywhere in the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, they're not there. Now, the Feast of Trumpets is in the Bible, the Feast of Atonement, but nowhere in the Bible is there a definition of certain trumpets and the name is the great trumpet or the last trumpet. That's not in the Bible anywhere. Well, you say, well, where do they get that from? Well, this is what's really weird about the whole pre-tribulation thing regarding this. They get them from the Talmud, from the Orthodox rabbinical additions to the Word of God from the traditions of the rabbis. And I'm saying, you know, that's interesting. You're going to use traditions of rabbis to interpret end-time events when Paul used to be a rabbi and rejected it all for the gospel and for Jesus Christ. Jesus told the rabbis, you nullify the Word of God by holding to your traditions. And by the way, it was the traditions of the rabbis that put Jesus on a cross. So please forgive me, folks, if I'm not going to interpret the Scriptures by the traditions, the Talmudic traditions of the rabbis. I'm going to be so naive as to stay inside the Bible to interpret the Bible and let the Bible interpret itself. And when you do that, Pastor Dan, you hear John saying, in the time of the seventh trumpet, the mystery of God will be revealed as the prophets spoke. And when you hear Paul say, as a prophet, behold, I'll tell you the mystery. We will be raptured, is what he says. We'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, in a flash of an eye, at the last trumpet. You cannot separate those two passages from each other if you stay inside the Bible. And if you go outside the Bible, the only way you can separate those two passages is to go to the rabbinical traditions written in the Talmud, not in the Word of God. So that's why I believe the seventh trumpet, biblically speaking, is the rapture of the church. Now, if that's the case, then obviously the six trumpets before it will blow sometime before the rapture of the church. And that's right. The point, that's one of the main points and one of the main cases I'm making in my book. And I and millions of others believe we have found evidence using key words that are in those trumpet prophecies to show us that those prophecies are unfolding before our eyes, and perhaps the first five have already blown, and we may be on the verge of prophecy, trumpet number six.
Well, I'll let you talk about six in a minute, but I just want to say something about a little bit about what you just said.
Yes.
In hindsight. You know, listening to you, Carl, and knowing your background, let's go with this. I like what you said. You know, you said that you're going to stay within the perimeters of the Bible, you know, what's been given to us. You're not going to an outside source for what you're doing. And, you know, that strikes me as you're a man that you used to be a law enforcement officer. And so you're used to staying within the parameters of the law. You understand where I'm going with this?
Yes, I do.
And so it only makes sense that when you now being saved as a pastor, that it would be an easy thing for you to stay within the perimeters of the Bible because you're used to staying within the perimeters of where you're supposed to be. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I was trained to be an investigator of evidence. And at the same thing, when I was in seminary, I was trained to be an exegetical expositor of the Word, which are big theological terms, meaning to exegete out, to pull out the meaning using context and word studies, staying within the parameters of the Word of God. And that's a perfect analogy you just made, Brother Dan, and that's right. Now listen, I want your listeners to know, it's perfectly acceptable to go to outside sources like history. Historical sources. I mean, we've got to put the Bible in its historical context. It's good to go outside the Bible and find out what the Jews believed, what their traditions were, what their culture was. Sometimes that gives insight into understanding how to understand the mindset of biblical characters and contextual understanding of the Scriptures. I have no problem with that. That's all a part of good Bible study. And if I was a cop, that would be a part of good investigation techniques. But where I draw the line and where I think all good Bible students ought to draw the line is you don't take something just because it's Jewish doesn't make it the Word of God. You know, and I mean, you know, our Jewish roots, it's important to understand. But just because you've discovered some Jewish tradition, please don't say, well, that's also the word of God. That's what the Pharisees said, and that's what Jesus condemned them for. Yeah, not only that, but sometimes Jewish tradition can nullify the word of God. In fact, Jesus said that. So when we start asking our pre-trib friends to interpret, well, what in the world was Paul talking about then? If he wasn't talking about the seven trumpets of Revelation, which is the only series of trumpets in the entirety of the New Testament, what was he talking about? Well, they go straight to the Talmud, straight to rabbinical traditions, and straight to the rabbis who added to the Word of God and say, that's what Paul was talking about. Well, wait, but Paul received this revelation at the throne of God. So did God go to the Talmud to interpret his own word? I mean, come on. So the point being, you've got to stay inside the scriptures. When John said, look, there's prophets that spoke about this. And by the way, John uses the plural, prophets. So Paul surely is the one who received the revelation. He spoke of it, and it's recorded for us. But surely other prophets came along, and they were repeating what Paul said, or had similar visions and revelations, and they were repeating it and teaching the church these truths. So John, 30 years later, just says, look, the prophets have been talking about this. And you know, the church is supposed to know this. At the seventh trumpet, at the last trumpet, the mystery of God is revealed. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I'll tell you what the mystery is. At the last trumpet, the rapture happens. So that's, you know, staying inside the Bible and using sound biblical exegesis and common sense, those two passages go together, and they cannot be pulled apart if you stay inside the Bible.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen. I agree with you. I can't wait to for this program to get out and my archive people listen to it. You know, Carl, people listen to while we have a lot of people that listen to it live, we have a whole lot of people that listen to us on their smartphones, you know, and days later. So I get comments from people days and even weeks and months later.
Yeah, same thing happens to me with my show. We podcast our show as well. We have a huge live audience, but we have an international audience that listens to the podcast because it's different time zones, you know, for everybody.
Right. Yeah, amen. And so a lot of times they'll ask me a question about a program I did like, you know, 6 months ago, and I go, really? I got to think about that. Anyway, we've got about 9 minutes left. What about six, you know?
Okay. Revelation. Let me explain that, and then I'm going to end, and I should be able to do this in the 9 minutes. I'm going to end with a real punchline, okay?
Okay, so when you come to, I'll be waiting for it.
Okay. Well, I believe that probably, again, I'm not dogmatic about it, but it looks to me like the first five trumpets have already blown. And I'm going to end with a punchline that's going to show your audience why I believe that. But again, I could be wrong, and I say this in my book, but I want your audience to hear this. If the seventh trumpet is the rapture, all right, let's go back and look at the sixth trumpet. Has that happened? Well, the sixth trumpet describes a World War III scenario of 200 million people fighting in the Middle East on the Euphrates River. That's what it says. I mean, good gracious, Pastor Dan. That's what we're building up to right now. I mean, Israel is surrounded by enemies. And on the Euphrates River, which starts in Turkey, runs through Syria, runs through Iraq, dumps into the Persian Gulf, that's where ISIS is. That's where hundreds of thousands of Christians are on the run. That's where Christians are being burned alive in cages and having their heads cut off. Right now, the whole world is looking at that. Now the United States has forces over there. The coalition forces have forces. Russia's involved. China's looking at it. Iran is making incursions into Iraq. I mean, this is amazing. And Trumpet 6 says, in the last days before the rapture of the church, there's going to be a multinational war. Now, it says 200 million men. Now, a lot of people have said, well, how can that be? World War II only had 200 million people in the entirety of a war in the Pacific and the European theater. Well, the answer to that is, very simply, in the Middle East, there are 400 million Muslims that live there. and women and children strap on bombs and pick up AK-47s. Now, when you add Russia in the mix and the United States in the mix and maybe China in the mix and maybe European countries, coalition countries, and Egypt and Libya and African countries, I can see where there would be easily 200 million people fighting in the Middle East in a World War III scenario. And so I see Trump at six. I see it building. Now, get this. Here's the punchline. We know, Pastor Dan, and my book documents this with impeccable historical and military resources and mainstream media journalistic resources. We know in fact, there's a news article today that's talking about Russia invading Ukraine, and they said that is unprecedented in modern history except by one event, and it says it in an article today, and that one event is the Gulf War when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. And historical sources, military sources, it's all documented in my book, indicate that we are where we are today in the Middle East because of the Gulf War. And here's what they say. We went into Iraq. We went into Kuwait. We decimated and annihilated Saddam Hussein's mother of all wars, supposedly. 10 years later, as payback for that, 9/11 happened. In fact, Osama bin Laden said that we're doing this because of you being in Saudi Arabia with your military and invading Kuwait, a sovereign country, and Muslims, et cetera, et cetera. So 9/11 happened as a result of the Gulf War. All right? As a result of 9/11, we invaded Iraq and Afghanistan. And that war lasted 10, 12 years. It's still going on. We still have troops there. And as a result of that, Barack Hussein Obama comes in office. And I didn't mean to say that. I'm serious.
That's all right.
But Barack Hussein Obama comes in office, and he and Hillary Clinton take credit for starting Arab Spring. And when they started that, and Egypt fell and Libya fell, which, by the way, are in the book of Daniel, chapter 11, prophetically, when that happened, Israel is going, what's the United States doing? What are they thinking? They're going to stir up terrorism. Terrorism is going to explode. Well, now, as a result of Arab Spring, comes ISIS. And so we are where we are today, on the verge of a World War III in the Middle East, Trump at six, because of Saddam Hussein entering Kuwait and because of us going over there. Now, get this. If we're on the verge of Trump at 6, that means Trump at 5 came before it, right?
Right.
And I'm going to paraphrase, and here's what Trump at 5 says. It says, something happens, a people are tormented for 5 months. It says that in that thing. And it says, the sky is blackened, pits are open, the pit is open, the bottomless pit, fire and smoke comes out, locusts come out of the pit, they just crawl all over the place, they're shooting fire out of their tails. I mean, people wanting to die, but they can't die. Something horrible is happening, and then it ends by saying, the entity, the messenger, the angel out of the pit, the one that started all this, the one that we identified that started this, his name is Apollyon, his name is Abaddon. You remember that, don't you, Pastor Dan? It says that in the scripture. Now get this. Apollyon and Abaddon. Apollyon is Greek. Abaddon is Hebrew. They translate in English to the destroyer. My book documents the university, Harvard University Persian Language Institute, Professor Thaxton Wheeler says, and people in the Middle East, I've got it all documented in my book, a variety of sources, expert sources say, that the translation for the word the destroyer, or Apollyon and Abaddon, in Persian, the translation is Saddam.
Really?
Now, Brother Dan, Trumpet 5 says this whole mess was started by somebody named, if you're reading a Persian Bible, Saddam. And our historians and military sources tell us that the war in Kuwait is leading us right up to where we are now, and it looks like it's going to be a Trump at 6. Now, go back and think about Trump at 5. It says people were under torment for 5 months. Guess how long Saddam was in Kuwait before the coalition forces invaded? 5 months. My book documents this from historical sources. They were there 5 months. Guess what Saddam did? He set 800 oil wells on fire that burned for 11 months. They darkened the sky as black as midnight in the noonday sun. Now, I just quoted right out of the New York Times.
Right.
And that's what Trumpet 5 says, that the sky is darkened in the middle of the day. It's like midnight. And guess what happened? John is sitting on an island 2,000 years ago. He's watching. He's thrust into the future, and he sees helicopters flying through the smoke. He sees tanks by the thousands crawling across the desert floor, shooting fire out of their tails. You get it? He doesn't know how to describe that. He's riding camels 2,000 years ago. So he says they looked like locusts, and they sounded like chariots thundering. And then he says people wanted to die, but they couldn't die. Well, you know what we know now? And my book documents this profusely. Saddam Hussein had torture camps wherein he took thousands of little children. He raped them. He brutalized them. Some of them he burned alive. And what he would do is he would torture them so that their screams would be heard by their parents, and he would keep those little children alive for years. And he also did that with adults in his torture camps. It was a medieval bloodbath. And people wanted to die, but he would not let them die. He kept them alive to brutalize them and torture them. I'm telling you, it comes right, it reads just like right out of the Bible. And all of this is documented in my book from impeccable resources, and it ends by saying, and the one that started this, his name is Saddam.
Right.
So that's just a little taste of my book. People can read it. They can make their own judgments. I'm not dogmatic. I admit in my book that I could be mistaken. I could be missing something. But, brother, I think we're living in very prophetic times. I think the trumpets might be blowing, Pastor Dan.
Yeah, amen. I believe that it's a lot closer than people think, and this book is really absolutely eye-opening. Folks, you really need to get the book, The Final Warning. Absolutely. And the argument that you gave for the seventh trumpet, the last trumpet, I've never heard anybody put it together like that before, Carl. That's impeccable. That is. I can't wait to use it. In fact, tomorrow, in Bible study, I'm going to bring that out.
Well, thank
amen.
You. Please do. Yeah, and the only argument that the pre-tribbers give to say that's not what Paul was talking about is that he uses the Talmudic traditions, and that just blows me away, Pastor Dan. And so I'm like you. I'm just going to stay inside the Bible. And when you do, you cannot pull those two passages of Scripture apart. You cannot.
Yeah, amen. That's me. I stay within the parameters of the Bible. You know, lately some people have been bringing some other books to me, like the Book of Jasher and things. They said, what's referred to in the Bible? I said, you can read it, but you're going to have to take it with a large grain of salt, because there's no way to prove, you know, the accuracy of that book being the same one. And so I stay in the Bible.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and people bring, you know, that stuff to me, and I've read a lot of that stuff. I'm a voracious reader. I've read all kinds of stuff that has to do with biblical history, and that's fine. That's just a part of academia. That's just a part of studying. That's a part of educating yourself. However, you have to filter everything through the Word of God. If it's not in the Word, then it's not the Word of God.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Carl, we've used up our time, and I got to get out of here because I got to get ready for Zev that is going to be on after. And boy, he's still the rabbi who found the Messiah book. He's still putting that out, it's going to be a good program. Well, anyway, thanks for being on with me. You be blessed, and we'll do it again.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. God bless you for everything.
Website.
Give
your website.
My love. Yeah, I will.
Give
Zev my love. My website is carlgallops.com, carlgallops.com.
Okay, folks, make sure you check him out. We'll see you later, Carl. Bye-bye. Folks, really, to me, that's the most important chapter in the whole book. The Final Warning is one about what he discussed with the seventh and last trumpet. Check it out. Check out the book. Of course, Carl, like me, like so many others, nobody's 100% right, but I think he's got it right for sure on the seventh and last trumpet. But read all the book, take it in and see what you say, and, you know, who knows, he may be right. Anyway, we must pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We could really use your blessing today. We have so much coming against us. We have so many people that we're helping. Pray about a donation tonight if you can online. And if you're going to mail us a check or money order, well, that's okay too. But pray about it and let us know it's coming. Anyway, remember, there is only one God. That is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.